Please turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. Very simply tonight, as we come to preach, I want to preach on the subject, turning the world upside down. At the beginning of this chapter, Acts chapter 17, Paul and Silas, as they continue their second missionary journey, enter into the city of Thessalonica. And when they entered into the city of Thessalonica, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. Look at verse 2. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ, or is Messiah. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down." Underline that phrase. "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received. And these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus." And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming hither went into the synagogue of the Jews. Amen. We'll end our reading there for this evening, knowing again the Lord will bless the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's bow just in a word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider God's truth tonight. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for the reading of the scriptures of truth. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless the reading to our hearts. And O God, now as we turn to the sacred page, we pray, Lord, that you would fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. And O God, that you might have a word in season for each and every one of us. Lord, we pray that again you would turn the world upside down. That again, Lord, you would work in our midst. We thank thee, Lord, for the way that you worked in the days of Acts of the Apostles. We thank thee, Lord, for the way that you saved, the way that you moved. And O God, we pray that you'll do it again, even in this our day and generation. We thank thee, Lord, that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. We pray, O God, for days of revival, days of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. O God, do it again for thy glory. Bless us now as we look at this portion of Scripture. We just pray, Lord, that you might have a word of encouragement for us tonight. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. As we continue our studies in Paul's second missionary journey, we discover here at the beginning of Acts chapter 17 that Paul and Silas enter into the city of Thessalonica. And as they enter into the city of Thessalonica, they go into the synagogue. And for 3 weeks, Paul and Silas preach the gospel to the people of the city. The result of this preaching was that there were many souls saved, and a church was established for the glory of God. The Lord blessed, again, the proclamation of his precious word. However, although there were many who were saved, there was great blessing. The Jews in the city who rejected the gospel objected to what was happening and caused an uproar in the city. They even went as far as attacking those who were converted. Indeed, the persecution was so great that Paul and Silas had to leave the city in a hurry. It was in the midst of these events that this statement about the disciples in verse 6 was made. The words of this text were spoken, of course, with a critical tongue and by the enemies of the gospel. What did the critics mean by this statement? In essence, what the critics meant was wherever the apostles went, there was an upheaval caused by the message of the gospel which they proclaimed. And they being Jews, they did not like it. They did not like what God was doing through the servants of the Lord. What was God doing? Well, he was saving souls. He was changing lives. He was sending revival and reformation. He was turning many from false religion. God was indeed turning the world upside down. Therefore, although this statement was meant as criticism of the disciples and of the apostles, it was a statement that described fully what God was doing through the disciples in the known world at that time. And we have seen even in these studies in the book of Acts how the Lord was turning the world upside down. Everywhere God's word was preached and Christ was uplifted, everywhere where the disciples went, there were many whose lives were being changed and transformed by the power of God. Tonight, very simply, I want us to look at this subject, turning the world upside down for God. And I pray that as we come to consider this subject, that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts, especially those of us who are saved. Now there's a message for each and every one of us, both saved and unsaved alike. And I pray that if you're not saved, that the Lord will speak personally to your heart tonight. But there's a definite word here for those of us who know the Lord as our own and personal Savior. Child of God, surely we want days like this again. And the truth is this, that what God did in a bygone day, he can do it again. What the Lord did through the disciples in the days of Acts, he can do it again, even in this 21st century. Because God is still the same. And God's power is still the same. And I pray this evening that the Lord, through his word tonight, will speak to our hearts and that we would get a vision afresh. A vision of the power of God. A vision afresh to what the Lord is able to do with a people who have committed their lives completely over to him. What do we learn here? Well, first of all, I want you to take a look at verse 2 and 3 of this chapter. And I want you to notice the method God used to turn the world upside down. Look what we read here in verse 2 and 3. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. Very simply, the method that God used to turn the world upside down was the preaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, wherever Paul went, his method was preaching the person and work of the Son of God. That was his method. That was his message. And the simple truth is this, when he preached this message, many were saved and converted to Christ. When he preached this message, lives were changed. And we can see it here, even in the city of Thessalonica. But we have seen it, even throughout these studies up until this point. Not only in the second missionary journey, but the first missionary journey as well. You know, the truth is this, that wherever Paul went and preached Christ, things happened. Lives were changed. Souls were saved. In 1 Corinthians 1, verses 17 and 18, we read these words. You should underline them in your Bible. Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And then we read in verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. And in Mark 16, verse 15, we read these words. And Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want you to notice that the type of preaching that turned the world upside down, as you study these words here in Acts chapter 17, it was plain preaching. Paul said that he preached not with wisdom of words. He said that he came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, but rather Paul used great plainness of speech. And of course, it must be the same today in which we live. First of all, the method today hasn't changed. God hasn't changed his way of working. And he still uses the preached word in order to see men and women saved by the grace of God. But that preaching must be plain preaching. And of course, when you study the preaching of the Apostle Paul and the disciples, you notice that not only was it plain preaching, but it was pointed preaching. Paul's message was all about the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that here set forth very clearly in Acts 17, verse 3. Look what it says, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ, or is Messiah. And this must ever be the controlling agency of our message. We must point men not to a church, not to a denomination, but we must point men to the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. And very simply, as the apostle and Silas and others went forth with this glorious message, they pointed men to Christ. On every occasion, they pointed men to the Lord Jesus. It was also powerful preaching. Paul preached, of course, in the power of the Holy Ghost. Such was God's anointing on Paul and Silas as they preached that they turned the world upside down. Because of their preaching, because it was powerful preaching, it was productive preaching. Because souls were saved, lives were changed forever. Preaching Christ and Him crucified is the method that God has so ordained to save the souls of men. And this can be seen very clearly in these passages of Scripture that we have read. And even as we have studied the book of Acts, we can see how the Lord blessed the preaching of His word, the uplifting of Jesus Christ. There's a day and age when we need preachers. It's this day and age in which we live. And I pray that the Lord would raise up more young men to go forward and proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. Child of God, preaching is still the method for the church today. If we want to see the world turned upside down for God, Ulster needs preachers. Ireland needs preachers. But preachers that will preach Christ in the power and in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Oh, may God come amongst us again, and may the Lord move again. I wonder tonight, even in this meeting, are there those, maybe the Lord is calling to go forth with the message of the gospel. Young men and young women, even older people. Oh, I pray that even from our own congregation and here in Bethel, that the Lord will set His hand upon young men, that they will go forth and preach the message of the gospel. You see, that brings me to my second point. Not only do I want you to notice the method God used to turn the world upside down, but I want you to notice the men that God used to turn the world upside down. What kind of men were the disciples? We think of Paul and Silas here. What kind of men were accused of turning the world upside down by the critics here in Acts chapter 17? Well, let me mention a few things very quickly. First of all, they were converted men. They were men who knew the Lord in a personal way. They had a personal faith in Christ, and they were saved and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. They all had the experience of the new birth. Of course, we could take the time to look back at their lives and see when they were saved and how they were saved. And we could look back and discover that each and every one of them had that personal testimony of meeting Christ and Christ meeting with them. They were converted men. And also they were men who were called of God. All these men had a calling. Just turn over to Matthew chapter 4 and you'll see this. You remember when the Lord Jesus was calling the disciples to go forward to be fishers of men. He said this in verse 19 and then verse 20. It says, "And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And that was the call of Christ in their lives, to go forth with this message of the gospel. And the Bible says in verse 20, "And they straightway left their nets, and they followed him." So these disciples had the call of God in their lives. And of course, in Acts 9 verse 15, the Lord said of Saul of Tarsus, "He is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel." You see, they were men of conviction, men who were sent of God with the message of God, men who knew the power of God in their lives. Of course, they were also courageous men. They were not afraid to stand up for the truth in the midst of persecution and adversity. They were not ashamed to suffer for the truth. In Acts 4 verse 17, the authorities forbid the disciples to preach in the name of Jesus. Just turn back to that portion of Scripture. And you'll see here, when they were forbidden to preach, the courage that they had. Because they were determined, no matter what the authorities told them, that they would continue to preach this message of Christ and him crucified. Look at verse 17 of Acts 4. "But that it spread no further among the people." This is what the authority said. "Let us strictly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name." That's the name of Jesus. "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." They were not going to be cowed. They were not going to be told what to do. They were men who were not only converted, who were not only called, who were not only infilled with the Spirit of God, but they were men who were courageous and men who were determined, come what may, that they were going to go forth and tell others of Jesus Christ, the mighty to save. Oh, there were men who were men of prayer. They were communing men. Men who knew how to intercede with God. They were, could we say, common men. They were known as unlearned and ignorant men. But they were men who were taught of God and anointed by God. Pharisees and the scribes, that's the way they described the disciples and the apostles. Unlearned and ignorant men. But God made them great. And the truth is that when the power of God came upon them, they were men that turned the world upside down. We read that portion of Scripture this morning. We're not going to read it again tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Take the time when you go home to read it again from verse 26 down to the end of the chapter. And in that portion of Scripture, for the benefit of those who weren't here this morning, we read there of how the Lord took the weak things and made them great, the nothings and used them in his service. And you know, the truth is that no matter who we are tonight, if we're saved and love the Lord can set his hand upon us, he can call us, he can equip us, and he can use us to turn the world upside down. And there's no knowing what God can do with one man whose life is wholly committed unto the Lord. You see, the truth is that God uses men and he uses women in his service. And that's why it is so important for us, child of God, to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send forth laborers into his harvest fields. Child of God, these are the type of men that God wants to use to turn the world upside down. These are the type of men that God can and will use in his service today. Would you not make yourself available? There's a challenge here for each and every one of us, but there's a challenge here for you as well. Would you not make yourself available to be used of God today? The Lord is looking for men and women to serve him. However, the reality is that there are few who are willing to step out and serve the Lord in these days. You remember what was said in the days of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 22, verse 30. Let me read you the verse. Again, it's a verse that you should underline in your Bible. It says this, I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. What a sad text of scripture that is. God looking for a man in Israel to stand up and to make up the hedge. And he found none. Oh, I pray that that will not be the case in Ulster. That that will not be the case in this United Kingdom of ours. But that as God looks round our congregations and even looks down into Bethel tonight, that there will be young men. There will be young women who will be willing to go forth with the message of the gospel and see a work done for time and for eternity. How we need to pray that the Lord will set his hand upon young men and young women. If the work of God is going to continue, who's going to do it? If we're going to see God's work established and go on in this land of ours, then there needs to be those among the people of God who will be willing to step forth and go forth with the message of the gospel. Oh, I pray in these days that the Lord will come and again that he will turn the world upside down, that he would turn Enniskillen upside down, that he would turn County Fermanagh upside down, that he would turn your life and my life upside down, so that we might go forward with the message of the gospel. The method that God used is the same method today as it was in the days of the book of Acts. He still uses the preaching of his word, the exaltation of Christ, preaching Christ and him crucified. And he still uses men and he still wants to use men. But notice something else here. Notice the manifestations of God that was seen when the world was turned upside down. In other words, how God worked and used these men and this message that they preached. Now, I want you to turn back to Acts chapter 2 for a moment. We're going to look at a few examples here very, very quickly. But as we look at these examples, I want you to remember what God is doing. He's using men. And he's using men as they preach Christ and him crucified. And as the man that he has called goes forth with the message of the gospel, things happen. Blessing comes. Lives are changed. Look at verse 14 of Acts 2. And Paul, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now look at verse 41. After he preached, Look what happened. Then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And of course that was the day of Pentecost. But you can see what happened. 3,000 souls were saved in one day. Look at chapter 4 and verse 1. And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they had taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Look at verse 4. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Now look what happened. Just a few days later, after the day of Pentecost, 5,000 were saved through the preaching of the gospel. Look at chapter 5 and verse 14. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. Look at chapter 8, what happened to Philip. Let's remind ourselves, verse 5 of chapter 8 of Acts. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. Notice how the Lord is using the men, preachers, preaching Christ. Look at verse 6. And the people with one accord give heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. In other words, the whole city turned to Christ. They're turning the world upside down. And all they're doing is preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus, presenting the people with Christ and telling them that Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Look at chapter 13 and verse 44. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Look at verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all that region. And then we come to Acts chapter 17. And we see Paul and Silas going into Thessalonica. Thessalonica was an ungodly city. It was a city full of idols. It was a city full of idolatry. And they go into the synagogue. And for 3 Sabbaths they preach the gospel to them. And many get saved. Many turn to Christ. Oh, what mighty power was demonstrated. What manifestations were seen in the lives of multitudes when God, through the disciples preaching the gospel, turned the world upside down. Oh, surely, child of God, our cry today should be, God, do it again. This is what we need to pray for. God, do it again. Child of God, we need to make Psalm 85 our prayer. Underline these words in Psalm 85, verse 6 and 7. They're familiar words, but they're the cry of the psalmist. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Revive us again. You know, the Lord is able, and the Lord is willing. I believe the Lord is waiting to send us revival. If we would only but cry and pray to God for it, we need to recognize again that we need the Lord more than ever. In this land, in our churches, in our lives, in our families, we need the Lord to come afresh. And if we cry with all our hearts to the Lord, he will surely send us another spiritual awakening. Ulster needs another revival. This island of Ireland needs revival. This United Kingdom needs a spiritual awakening. We need the Lord to come and turn the world upside down again. How will he do it? He will do it through preaching. He will do it through men whom he has called and chosen and sent. That's why we need to pray that the Lord will send more laborers into his harvest fields. Look at what happened in Acts chapter 17. Look at verse 4. After Paul and Silas had preached, it says, and some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. This morning we looked at the conversion of the Philippian jailer, and we noticed how the Lord changed the life of the jailer. Well, here in Acts chapter 17, verse 4, we can see that there are those in Thessalonica who also believed. You know, it's a wonderful study, just studying that word believed, just through the book of Acts. Wherever Paul went, whenever the word of God went forth, there were those who believed. There were those who believed. I wonder, have you ever believed and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior? Maybe there's someone here tonight, and deep down in your heart, you know that you're not saved. You're not born again of the Spirit of God. My friend, again, let me say to you, your greatest need is to come and trust Christ as your Savior. This word believe, we explained what it meant this morning, but let me explain it again this evening. The word believe here means to cleave onto, to trust in, to have faith in, and to rely upon. Therefore, when Paul told the Philippian jailer to believe on Christ, and when we read here about the Thessalonians believing on Christ, what it means is this, that they were giving themselves up to Christ, and they were trusting alone in the Lord Jesus as their own and personal Savior. They were entrusting their lives to Him in order to be saved for time and for eternity. They were depending upon nothing else but the person and work of Jesus Christ to save their souls. They were casting their all upon Him. And that's what you need to do tonight. If you're found in this gospel meeting and you're not a Christian, you're not saved, you need, first of all, to realize and to recognize that you're a sinner and that you're lost and that your sin is bringing you down to hell. And then you need to recognize that only Jesus Christ can save you. You see, that's why the disciples went forth with only one message. And that's why they continually emphasized faith alone in Jesus Christ to save. And that's why they pointed out to the people that the Lord Jesus was the Son of God and that He was the Messiah of Israel. And that if they wanted to be saved for all eternity and delivered from the judgment to come, they had to trust in Him. My friend, that message hasn't changed. It's the same message today as it was in the days of Paul and Silas. And although we're living in a different age, and although we're living in the 21st century, the message is still the same. But I wonder tonight, as we're gathered in God's house at the close of another gospel service, have you ever come and put your faith in that resurrected Christ? We noticed this morning how the jailer was saved. And tonight we're seeing how the people of Thessalonica were saved here. They believed. It's a simple step of faith. I wonder, have you ever taken that simple step of faith? What is faith? Faith is forsaking all and trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what faith is. Forsaking all and trusting Him. Have you ever taken that step of faith? And simply cast yourself upon the Lord, recognizing that He has died to save you, recognizing that He has risen again to justify you. And have you ever cried out, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner? If you haven't, would you not do it tonight? You need to take that step. Coming to church is good. Listening to God's word is good. But coming to church and listening to God's word will never save your soul. You need to take that step of faith. I can't take that step of faith for you. Your family, your parents, your loved ones can't take that step of faith for you. You must take that step of faith yourself. That's why Paul said to the jailer, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And when he went to Thessalonica, that was still the same message. He told the people that they must personally and individually believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And many of them did. And they were gloriously converted for time and for eternity. Oh, child of God, turning the world upside down. May God come again in these days in which we live. May we pray for it. May we believe that God not only can do it, but will do it. And may we really seek the Lord in these days that he would come again and work on hearts and save the lost. Let us all pray.